my mind. I can't thank you enough. Every day, for every door you've opened, for everything you've done, I can't thank you enough. For keeping my mama, for keeping my daddy, for keeping my family, I can't thank you enough.
Well, I started going to church and religious ed when I was about 6 years old. Did all the sacraments, grew up in the Roman Catholic Church, but I realized I never got anything out of it. I couldn't tell you anything about it. When I got here to His Tabernacle Family Church, recognized rock solid faith, started attending, and it was exactly what I needed to really understand the fundamentals and get a foundation, a strong foundation, and it really is the title, rock solid. Very wisdom-filled, very exciting, because you get a chance to learn, about Jesus. You get a chance to learn about the kingdom. And I'm just excited that I got a chance to do that at this point in my life. And I'm just blessed.
Have you ever wondered how sound can shatter glass? Like the ripple effect, sound demands movement. There is an action that demands a reaction. Everything began with a sound. God, the creator of everything, created the whole universe with his sound. Every great movement in history began with a sound.
I have a dream.
One person found their voice.
My four little children one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.
Sound will always create movement. Movement that demands change. Change that ushers in a new era. So sit back, close your eyes, and listen. What is the sound you've created?
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. I said good morning,
good
everybody.
News. If you're in 7th to 9th grade.
You know, I'm not really having a hard time seeing you because it's dark out there and it's bright up here. We want to welcome you to the second service, His Tabernacle Family Church. It is going to be a dynamic service today. You're going to love it, although it's very different. So if you've come expecting normal, today's going to be a little abnormal for you. Amen? So let's all stand to our feet. We're going to worship. So we want to invite you to the front of the altar. And for those who are our guests, we want to thank you so much for being with us this morning. We do want to give honor. These are in memory of Danny O'Brien, who is a gentleman who came to this church, a friend of mine. And he went on to be with Jesus last week. And we wanted to honor him today. But today, we want to honor Jesus more than anybody else. Amen. I said we want to honor Jesus more than anyone else. Amen. I said we want to honor Jesus more than anybody else. Can I hear an amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, we're here to worship you. We're here to love you. We're here to show our love to you. So God, pour out your spirit in this place. Jesus, going to church without your Holy Ghost means nothing. So Lord, fill this place with your presence. Let your power be felt. Heal the sick. Save the lost. Let those that are in bondage be free in Jesus' name. As your presence is released for the glory of God. And everybody in agreement shouted. Amen. Let's worship.
All right, can you all clap with me? Go ahead, just clap like this. All right, can you move a little bit, maybe from side to side? Maybe a little bit. There's no reason why we can't dance for joy when we realize what God has called us. Amen? Amen? Oh, no. All right, we got to...
We are a chosen generation, called forth to show His excellence. All I require for life, God has given me, and I know who I am. We are a chosen generation, called forth to show His excellence. All I require for life, God has given me, and I know. I know who God says I am, what He says I am, where He says I'm at. I know who I am, I know who God says I am, what He says I am, where He says I'm at. I know who I am. I'm walking in power, I'm working miracles, I live a life of favor, 'cause I know who I am. I'm walking in power, I work in miracles, I live a life of favor, 'cause I know who I am. Come on, sing it up. Oh, 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 I know who I am. Oh, 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 I know who I am. Let's take it from the top. We are a chosen generation, called forth to show His excellence. All I require for life, God has given me, and I know who I am.
Come on, sing it out, I know you know it.
We are a chosen generation, called forth to show His excellence. All I require for life, God has given me, and I know who I am. I know who God says I am, what He says I am, where He says I'm at. I know who I am, I know who God says I am, what He says I am, where He says I'm at. I know who I am. I'm walking in power, I'm working miracles, I live a life of favor, 'cause I know who I am. I'm walking in power, I'm working miracles, I live a life of favor, 'cause I know who I am. Oh, 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 power. I work in miracles. I live a life of favor. Cause I know who I am. I'm walking in power. I work in miracles. I live a life of favor. Cause I know who I am.
Who you are in Jesus. You ready? Let's do it again.
Go ahead. Walking in power.
Sing it like you mean
it. Working now. Miracles. I live a life of favor. Cause
I know who I am.
I'm walking in power. I'm working miracles. I live a life of favor. Cause I'm walking in power. I'm working miracles. I live a life of favor. Cause I know who I am. I'm walking in power. I work in miracles. I live a life of favor. Cause I know who I am. Oh, 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 oh. I know who I am.
Now listen, you can't get any more Caucasian than me. And I can't help but move in that song. So some of you need to grease up some of your joints, amen? You got to move a little bit. Can everybody move just a little bit? You can do something. Even do a Bill Cosby dance or something, you know what I mean? But man, God is good. When you realize who you are in Christ, you're undefeatable. So come on, sing that again.
I'm working miracles. I live a life of favor. Cause I know who I am. I'm walking in power. I'm working miracles. I live a life of favor. Cause I know who I am. I'm walking in power. I'm working miracles. I live a life of favor. Cause I know who I am. I'm walking in power. A life of favor, cause I know who I am. Come on, sing it out. Oh, 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 I know who I am. Oh, 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 I know who I am. Sing, I am holy. I am holy. I am righteous.
Goodness, man, it is so powerful to recognize who we are in Christ. Now, I did warn you when you came this morning that today's service is a little bit different. So on your way back to your chairs, make sure you welcome five or six folks and say, well, good morning. You look just marvelous today. Make sure you meet somebody you don't know. We're just going to take a few moments. Praise the Lord. We want to also, all the young people that are grade, help me now, 7th grade through 9th grade, we have a new youth ministry for you. Where are they going to be meeting? Classroom 1, if you'll go right over, Pastor Cody is out in the foyer. If you're a 7th grade to 9th grade, if you want to make your exit right now, this is your moment. There you go. Head right on out there, 7th grade to 9th grade. Josh Fuchsman, you're too old. You cannot go out there. There you go, 7th grade to 9th grade. Make your way right out the back. Hallelujah. Rhonda, I know, my wife, hallelujah. She's young enough, amen. Today we're going to do something somewhat different. We're going to preach right now. I am so excited about this message. This is the year of... Oh, you're so quiet this morning. You had an extra period of time to sleep. This is the year of generosity. Shout, we are the generous church. I just want to give great testimony of your generosity. And that was this. We got a call from EOP at the beginning of the week for the MLK feeding of the community. And they said, we need 1,500 cookies. And we said, no problem. You are an amazing people. We are delivering 1,500 cookies to MLK today so they can have them ready for tomorrow. Come on, give yourself a hand clap and say, you are a generous church. Generosity is so much different from giving. Many times we talk about giving, and I want to make sure this is very clear right out of the gate. This has nothing to do with money. This has to do with life. God wants to teach you how to live a generous life. Generosity is something that's inside of you, not something that you just do. God is calling the church, the body of Christ, to come out of poverty and come into generosity. Can I hear an amen? I said, can I hear an amen? Giving is when we give something that is expected. You know, we give tithes and offerings. That is expected. God said, we're returning. We're not actually giving, but returning his 10%. That is giving. God gave. But yet there's something beyond just normal giving, and it's called generosity. The very terminology of generosity means beyond what is expected or needed. And today I want to explain something, because there needs to be a shift in the body of Christ. There must be a shift within the children of God, that giving is good, but God has not called us to be givers. God has called us to be like himself, and we are the generous church. Can I hear an amen? I said, can I hear an amen? Turn to someone and say, I'm the generous church. See, the fact is that this building is just a building. You and I are the church. And we are the generous church. God has created us to be filled with generosity, to always give beyond. And I'm not talking money. I'm talking living a generous life, giving more love than expected, giving more passion than expected, giving more time than expected, giving more so that people will recognize the very nature of our Father. The principles of generosity are very interesting, because every one of us are either taught or not taught. The fact is this, you understand generosity if you have caught it. Now, what do you mean caught it? Well, you know, if your parent brought you up in a lifestyle of generosity, what does that mean? That means your mom and dad kind of spoiled you. When you needed something, they didn't just give you what you needed. They gave you above and beyond. They trained you, taught you. You caught generosity. It is now part of your nature, because that's who your mom and dad are. It's just you caught it. No one had to teach you. No one had to train you. You watched it by example. Therefore, now you live it. The other one is different. And this is where most believers are, and really most of the church is. Most of the church has to be taught it. Many of us have been brought up in homes that generosity was not a norm. In fact, we live in a society right now that actually teaches opposite of generosity. They actually teach more survival methods. They teach us, don't give up too much. Don't do too much. Take care of yourself first. But I'm here to tell you, that is the opposite of heaven. That is the opposite of the kingdom of God. That is the opposite of the mindset of Jesus. God wants us to live generous lives. Now, I want to remind you that in the year 2015, we talked about a message in the whole year. It was the year of... Oh, you're very quiet. 2015 was the year of the kingdom. The Bible makes a statement that says this: seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see, seek ye first the kingdom, the apex, the pinnacle. Understanding the kingdom principles means that you and I know how to live within the kingdom. Now, I want to remind you that we are dual citizens when we're washed by the blood of Jesus. Yes, we have to be here on this earth. We live in the United States of America. There is a constitution, and we've got to occupy till he comes. But yet, when you are born again, your nature changes. Now you step into the greatest kingdom. You step into the greatest nation. You become a citizen of the Most High God. And today we have a constitution. We have the word of God that declares God's passion and desire for our lives. And God's kingdom is above the earth's kingdom. Oh, you're very quiet this morning. I have no question in my spirit that when we start recognizing how to live in kingdom, then we're automatically going to start living our Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven is extravagant. Heaven is absolutely amazing. When you do a study on heaven, the very streets of May are made of clear gold. The very throne of God made out of pearl. It is amazing when you recognize all the different stones and everything that is in heaven that you and I have available. You see, we look at heaven as just a pie in the sky mentality of someday we might get there, some euphoria mindset. But God said, I want to bring heaven to earth. That means I want you to understand how I live so I can manifest my life, called the Zoe God kind of life, in and through you, so that this world will recognize it's not just giving that draws people. It's the extravagant mindset of generosity that draws people's attention. Our God, by nature, is over the top. I want to bless you abundantly. What does abundantly mean? What does abundantly mean? Man, that's over the top. Abundantly above. So listen now. God, by nature, says, I want to bless you. Turn to someone and say, God wants to bless you. Come on, tell somebody else, God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you abundantly, not just over the top, but above over the top, abundantly above all you can even ask or imagine. That means this: your greatest passions, your greatest dreams, your greatest prayers, God says, I've got even more than the extravagant thought process that you can even squander in your head. I have more than you could ever even think of. Your eye has not seen, your ear has not heard. You can't even perceive the great things that God has in store for those who love him. You see, God by his nature is extravagant. God by his nature is generous. Yet it's time for the body of Christ to have a transition out of poverty, the mindset of poverty, and come into the mindset of generosity. Can I hear an amen? The verse for the year is found in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25, and it says this: the generous man, everybody shout, say it with an exclamation point. Ready? Shout, I'm generous. Some of you are prophesying to yourself. Let's say it again. I'm generous. Some of you need to prophesy to the person next to you. Shout, I'm generous. The generous man in source of blessing and shall be prosperous and enriched. You see, everybody wants to increase, but not everybody wants to be generous. You will not increase unless you are generous. 2015 was the year of the kingdom. 2016 was the year of kingdom seed. Seed being the number one principle of the kingdom of God. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. If a man sows of the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. If a man sows of the spirit, he shall of the spirit reap eternal life. Seed produces like kind. Whatever we sow in thought, whatever we sow in mouth, whatever we sow in action produces a harvest. You see, why is this imperative that we're building line upon line and precept upon precept? Because until you understand the kingdom, you'll never understand generosity. And until you understand seed, you'll never produce a harvest of generous. There is a process in God's kingdom. The Bible calls them keys to the kingdom that allow you to open up heaven on earth, that allow you to live the God kind of life on this planet. And God's passion is that you live that abundant life. The Bible makes a declaration, the devil's come but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that you might have life. Everybody shout life. Shout life. Come on, shout it out loud. Life, and life more abundant. Many believers never touch the abundant life. Never mind the more than abundant. Well, why is that? It's simple. Many of us have never been taught how to be generous. We've taught how to make it. We've taught how to survive. We've been taught how to just, you know, live your life. But God wants to take you beyond those life lessons that this world's principles have taught you. And he wants to take you into the word of God that will open up heaven to your life so that you will be able to obtain and call those things forth and live supernaturally above what this world has to offer. Can I hear an amen? Until you and I understand these principles, we're going to live just like everybody else on this planet. And isn't it time the believers start looking different than everybody else on this planet? Many of your friends don't want the God you serve because they've got better than you. And I'm not talking money, and I'm not talking houses. I'm talking your attitude, your defeatism. Come on now, depression. I'm talking your life is such a struggle and you want, listen, some of you should never be on Facebook. Can I hear a double amen? Amen. Some of you should never be on Facebook. Man, you sit there and you seed and you're going to reap the harvest and you're going to not see the generosity of God manifested in your life. Some of you just need to be brave and click delete. We could just stop the sermon right there. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 16, 13 through 15, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples saying, "Who do men say that I am? The Son of Man am." And they said, this is what the disciples said. Some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Others say Jeremiah. Or one of the prophets. And this is what Jesus said to them. But Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" You see, who and how you see God, whether he be poverty stricken or he be a God of generosity, literally determines every way that you pray and live. How you live today has a direct impact on what you were taught about who God is. Some of you will never serve God in his fullness because your mindset, you've been taught by even preachers, that is anti-scripture. And it's time to get back to the word of God. It's time to get back into the scripture. It's time to know who I am. It's time to know who he is. And it's time to start walking. For Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" Because who you say he is has that direct impact on every facet of God's generosity or you living in poverty. Now, I'm not talking poverty of money. I'm talking poverty of life. I'm talking the woe is me. How many have ever seen a person that we could have named Eeyore? Man, you look at them and you go, Eeyore. If you look at their life, you will see that they have seeded and have seeded towards poverty and not generosity. You have seen that their life is being touched by not the blessing of God, but yes, they're born again. Yes, they love Jesus, but they'll never step into the blessing of heaven because they have never allowed God to teach them about his generosity. He's never been able to teach them about how much he loves you, wants to bless you. Listen now, you and I will never get more generous than the love of God. What shall separate us from the love of God? Shall height, shall breadth, nothing shall separate me. How is that even feasible? Because let's be honest, how many of us should have had God turn his back on us already? But God with his generosity, God with his love, God with his giving above what's expected says, if you confess your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I'll not only call you somebody that's just barely making it into heaven, but I'll give you the blessing of God and even the very desires of your heart. I'll meet them because my very nature is that I am a generous God and I want to bless my children. Can I hear an amen or oh my? See, how you've been taught determines if you know God as a poverty-stricken king or truly generous. Now, this is where the shift comes. Because if you do not understand kingdom, then you just live this life. Well, I've made my bed and I got to lie in it. Well, you know, my life is just what it is. I just got to take the good and the bad. Well, I'm hoping it works out for me. You see, until there's a shift in understanding that the kingdom of God has more power than the earth, that the kingdom of God has more power than the earth. This is not religion. And you see, religion has taught a lot of people, did you hear the word? Taught a lot of people how to live in poverty. I remember I was a youth pastor in Pennsylvania. And I was making $25 a week full time. I lived in the basement of the parsonage. And I remember after a year, I went in for a raise. And what they would do is they would have a big board meeting and it'd be in front of all the people. So all the people were at this board meeting. And it was time. And the pastor suggested that I get raised to $100 a week. I was excited. All of a sudden, the meeting, and the pastor brings this forth. He said, I want to make a motion to raise Pastor Spencer to $100 a week from $25, and he'll still live in my basement. And a man jumped up on the far left side and said this, he's not worth $100. No preacher is worth $100. He said, if you keep them poor, you'll keep them humble. Now, some of you might be going, oh, but you know what? That was a mindset of that man. Did he love Jesus? Absolutely. Did he live in poverty? Absolutely. Did he have problems in his marriage? Absolutely. Did he have problems with his children? Absolutely. Did he have problems with his walk with God? Absolutely. Why? Because he always lived in that mindset that God will not bless him because he's not worth it. You see, nobody could say that unless they actually believed that in a public arena. He did not believe that anybody would be worth the blessing of God, even himself. Religion has taught so many people that God is poverty stricken. That's not how they preach. What I mean by that? What I mean is they're not standing up and saying, God is poor. They're saying, God is rich, buddy, don't ask for too much. We had a lady in the church one day. She had just got done teaching Rock Solid Faith. And it was the class on prayer. And we taught them in prayer to be specific in what you're believing for. Because God loves specificity. And so she was from old school. Religion had taught her, whether it be poverty or prosperity, poverty or generosity, you'll see in just a moment. She came to me about a week or so later and she said, I just want to tell you what happened in my life. I said, sure, go ahead. She said, I was believing God. Our stove died, so I was believing God for a stove. And she said, I said to the Lord, God, whatever you provide, I will receive. Lord, I don't want to be greedy. Whatever you give me, I'll receive is from you. Well, her husband had been coming home from work one day, and he was going down a street, and on the side of the road was a stove, that nasty, ugly, mustard yellow colored stove sitting on the side of the road. And it said, free. He said, the blessing of the Most High God. He picked up that stove, brought it to his wife's house when she wasn't there yet, had it installed. She came home from work. She walked over into her kitchen. She saw that stove and she said, that is disgusting. I do not want that in my house. I do not like that stove. How many of you would like that mustard yellowed stove? How many of you had that mustard yellow stove? Jesus, touch them all. She said, Pastor, I decided that I was going to start praying the way you taught me in the Word of God. So she started praying for a brand new white stove. And her dad, before her husband could get that yellow one out, walked into the house to visit her and the grandchildren, looked into the kitchen, saw that nasty yellow stove and said, listen now, nobody should have that stove. Go to Sears, buy whatever one you want. You see, God is just waiting for you and I to be specific. Why? Because our mindset says, I'll just survive. My mindset is, I'll just strive. But God is saying, I want to bless you abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. But the religious have been taught, don't ask too big because you might put a strain on God. How many of you know God, if he created it, nothing is too big for him? You've heard me say it in church before. Man, when you're praying for money, realize what you're doing. All you're doing is asking for a piece of pavement. Some of you aren't getting it. The streets of gold, streets of heaven are made of. When you're asking for money, all you're asking God for is pavement. What's pavement? Pavement is nothing for God. But our mindset says we're asking too big, and there must be a shift in our spirit. God is a generous God that abundantly above all you could ask or imagine is not out of character. That is his nature. He wants to bless you so much that all you can do is bust and burst. He wants to bless you so much that the world will have to look at you and say, I don't understand what's going on in your life, but I want to serve the God that you serve. It's time for the church to get back to the Word of God and start believing that God is generous. Not poverty stricken. Can I hear an amen? See, some people actually were taught that God is mean. That God is just waiting for you to mess up and he's going to beat your head in with a hammer. That if you sin too many times, I remember one time I was doing a youth ministry down in Pennsylvania. I had 60 teenagers and I felt the Holy Ghost tell them all to turn around and kneel down in their chairs. And I had them all kneel down and this is what he told me to ask them. He said, how many of you believe that God will forgive you if you sin once? And every one of the 60 kids' hands went up. I said, how many of you believe if you've sinned the same sin twice, God will forgive you? And about 2/3 of their hands went up. I said, how many of you believe that if you sin the same sin 3 times and you ask God to forgive you, if he'll forgive you or not? And very few, less than 10% of the hands went up. What does that show you? That shows you that their mindset says that God is poverty stricken with his ability to forgive you and to wash your sins away. It shows me that they did not understand the greatness, the generosity of mercy, the generosity of grace, the generosity of forgiveness. They did not know God. And some of you are in the position where, man, you think God's just waiting to beat you. Man, every time you turn around when you sin, you're thinking God will never pick you up. You see God as poverty stricken rather than generous. God, by his generous nature, wants every single time you sin, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. He'll wash your sins away and throw it as far as the east to the west and remember it no more. He is so faithful. That is his name. The faithful God. He is so passionate. He is a passionate God. He is so adoring of you that the Bible says he spins and dances over your life. It's time to recognize that God, by his nature, wants to generously pour out his love and his forgiveness in your life. But if we do not believe that he is generous, the only thing you can pray for is fear and poverty. Some of you believe God is poor, financially poor. Some of you believe, and listen, how you believe is how you pray, and how you pray is how you receive. So some of you for years have been praying and not getting anything and getting mad at God, and God is saying, no, it's not my problem. I'm waiting to give you everything you'll ask for. What do you mean, Pastor? That's kind of brazen, saying that God will give us what we ask for. The Bible says, if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt, you shall have what you ask. The Bible makes a declaration up to this point in John chapter 16. You've asked me for nothing, but whatever you ask in my name, I will give it to you. that in the name of Jesus, God recognizes this legal process as the Constitution declares when you understand the kingdom. When you pray, Jesus, your elder brother, has gone before the Father and it knows the will of God and your life is correct with God. And God will say, listen, that's my kid that's asking. And Jesus, the lawyer, their advocate, says, yes, that's the one, Father. Deliver the promise. You see, you and I are living in the greatest time, in the greatest understanding, and God's promise. Prosperity, God's generosity is waiting to be unleashed in your life, but God cannot give it if you don't expect it. For God is moved by faith. God is not moved by your need. God is not moved by your situation. God is moved by faith. And if you call those things which are not as though they already are, for faith moves heaven. All of a sudden, when you release the power of God, you'll see the generosity of heaven being released in your life. Some of us have just been taught bad teaching in church. Good-hearted preachers, bad teaching. This is why the church you go to has a direct impact on your destiny. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You know, as a parent, I was kind of sick and demented. And I always wanted to teach my children that red is yellow and yellow is black. And one is the number 10, and 10 is the number 20. Can you imagine what would happen to that poor child? All of a sudden, they get to math class. They realize, yeah, they get to kindergarten, realize the Patriots, who are winners, of course, are the Patriots. Y'all need a better attitude. Need a better attitude. They mix up the colors. You see, what you're taught is what you live. And if you haven't caught generosity, then you must be taught generosity, or you're going to live what you've been taught by your parents, by your church, by the world. We are not governed by this world system. I said, we are not governed by this world system. We are not governed by this world system. We are governed by the kingdom of God. We have a covenant with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he said, my word is yea and amen. See, this is the shift in the body. Because when we live this lifestyle of, and the proof's in the pudding. When a problem comes your way, let's just say you get sick. Who's the first person you call? You call the doctor. Some of you call Dr. Tylenol. The very first thing, the very first reaction to your life is usually showing your very first level of faith. You're having problems making your bills. First thing you do is call the bank. God is able. Listen, when it was time to pay taxes, the disciples had to pay, and Jesus too. They came and asked for money. What did Jesus say? Go fish. Peter pulled out of the water a fish, and in the fish's mouth was enough money to pay the taxes for all of them. I'm here to tell you, some of us have put so much faith in this world system that we forget that our God is supernatural, that our God is generous, that our God wants to bless you abundantly above all you could ask or imagine. And instead of asking God, the generous God, for a miracle, you're living in a life and mentality of poverty. There must be a shift. Because so many of our faith is the same level as the world. They don't want to go to church with you. They don't want to serve the God you serve. Their life is better than yours. And that shift comes. Listen, poverty has nothing to do with what you got. Poverty is everything of how you believe. For if you actually believe that God has all things, if you actually believe in the principle that we preached all last year of access, What does heaven have available to you? Heaven has forgiveness. Heaven has healing. Heaven has miracles. Heaven has deliverance. Heaven has everything this world would ever desire, waiting for you and I to access it according to the name and the presence of Jesus Christ. Yet many of us will never access because we, not God, live the mindset of poverty. And we won't ask. And we won't believe. We would rather live in fear and domination. There's nothing more tormenting than being dominated by your circumstances. When the God of circumstances can breathe and calm the wind, calm the sea. You see, this gets right down to, is my God poverty stricken in his power? Or is my God extravagant and generous with his power? Is my God poverty stricken with his healing ability? With his creative ability? Or is he generous, giving you healing and health so that you walk in the blessing of heaven? Is my God poverty stricken with forgiveness? He can only forgive me just so many times and then he gives up on me? Or is he extravagant that you've never gone too far? And those who dare to say, Jesus, I want to repent. I want to turn from my sin. I want to run towards you. He will not only run towards you. He'll kill the fatted calf and take off the ring and put on the coat and call you his kid all over again. It's time to recognize my God is not weak. My God is not poor. My God is not filled with poverty. He has everything waiting for you. Well, I don't believe that. Exactly. Exactly. You see, what you believe is what you speak. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So many of us will not verbally say that God is poverty stricken. When it comes talking about God, but will verbalize his poverty, his lack, his weakness with how we live our lives. I believe that was a divine pause. Your perception of God might not be the reality. And if your perception of God is wrong, then how you pray, how you believe, how you live your life for Christ will actually show who he is, either generous or poverty in your life. It amazes me in the American church how many people live that God is weak. Well, I can't break this addiction. That's right, you can't, but God can do all things. Oh, the economy's bad, but I don't live according to this economy. I live according to the economy of heaven, and God can make something happen that should never have happened. My marriage is destroyed, but God is the one who can bring restoration, for he is the greatest restorer the world has ever seen. For if he loved us so much, was so generous, that he would give his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What can God do in your marriage with his generosity? There's nothing. But it all comes down to, who do you say that I am? Because who you say that I am is how you're going to pray. Who you say that I am is how you're going to believe. You see, there comes this revelation that has to pop in your head, that has to pop in your spirit, that I am not a slave of God, I am a child of God. You see, slaves never are generous because they live a life of payback. I want to remind you of the children of Israel. They were in bondage for all those years and were crying out for God to save them. And God was so generous that he raised up a man named Moses. Moses went, and God said through Moses, let my people go. I've always wanted to say that. Let my people go. Pharaoh said no, and the 10 plagues came into being. And finally he said, get them out of here. So the children of Israel, come on now, talk about generosity. They didn't just leave. According to Psalms 105, the Bible says they left with all the gold and the silver of Egypt. And there was not one sick, not one feeble among all the tribes. For out of 2.5 million people that left Egypt, there was not one sick mama, not one sick baby, not one sick grandmother, not one sick animal. And they had all the gold and the silver of Egypt. And they're heading towards the Red Sea. But I want to remind you that they were living in the slave mentality. They were living in this poverty thought process. They came to the Red Sea and then heard the Egyptian army coming behind them. And this was their very first reaction. I'd rather be back in Egypt eating the cabbage. I'd rather be back in Egypt mucking in the mud so that I can make the bricks. You see, they were so willing because they did not believe that the God who could deliver them could be the God that would open the Red Sea. Your miracle's been waiting for you for so long. But all you do is look behind you instead of the miracle that's waiting to unfold in front of you. You see, God didn't just roll back the Red Sea abundantly above. God dried the land. He didn't just try the land. When they got across on the other side, the Egyptian army, that was the strongest army at that point, came across, and they were all drowned in that water, abundantly above all you could ask or imagine. My God is able because he is the God of generosity. He loves to bless his children. I am not just some slave. I am a son and daughter of God. I am the one who is called. He said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I've ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. You see, I am a Son of God. See, the Bible makes a declaration in John chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as receive him, to them gave he the right. You see, that is that kingdom right. Those are the kingdom principles. That is the constitution. Whatever's in the word is yea and amen. They have the right to become children of God. Say today, how you believe you are is how you live. Some people say to me, Pastor, I was thinking about this morning, and I always get in trouble when I mention this, but there was a rumor going around that my wife and I lived in a $1.2 million log cabin on the lake. Jesus, prophesy. We lived in the same house for 18 years, next to the fire hall in Big Flats. That stupid alarm. Hated that alarm. 2 o'clock in the morning, the alarm goes off. I don't care how many years you've been there, you're still up. Where did they get the mindset? Where did they get the concept? Where did they get the mentality that Pastor Spencer lived in a $1.2 million log cabin on the lake? Because I walk like I have one. I live like I have one. I believe I have one. And let me tell you something. If I wanted one, I'll pray it in. Because there's nothing impossible for my God. He'll give me all the abundance. You see, heaven is not wanting. Heaven is not lacking. What's lacking is the people of God getting out of poverty and believing that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you believe? Because what you believe is what you receive. Hallelujah! You see, I'm not just a son, but I'm also an heir. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 through 17, for you did not receive the spirit of a bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father! He's no longer just God in heaven. He's not only the most holy. He is not only God himself. But now he said, because you confess my son, because my generous blood washed all your sins away, now you can call me Daddy. Now you can call me Abba, Father. Now you can come into the throne room of God boldly and bring your petitions. You see, God is waiting for you. God believes in you. God has blessing for you. God has prosperity for you. God has generosity for you. But you see, you cannot have it unless you're willing to take it. And you'll never take it if you don't believe it. There must be a shift. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Shout, I'm a child of the King. Ah, you couldn't convince me or the devil that time. I said, shout, I'm a child of the King. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If indeed he suffered with you, that you may be glorified together. I've got great news for you. You're not just an heir of God. What is an heir? That is that God has great things for you. And that means when you die, you know you're going to be with him forever. You know you're going to be in heaven. You know you're going to be in his presence. There's no greater utopia than being in the very essence of God himself. But I want you to know too, well, you're still on this earth. And while you're here, you're a joint heir of Jesus Christ. Whatever Jesus has, you have. Whatever Jesus was given, you are given. Jesus made the declaration, greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. I'm here to tell you today, you are not poverty stricken in spirit. You are not poverty stricken in finances. You are not poverty stricken in your family. You are not poverty stricken. You are serving a generous God who's just waiting for you to believe. This is the shift. This is where we're going this year. We're going to shift you. And some of you who've lived in lack your whole life, well, I'm not even talking money now. You can have all the money in the world and still live in lack. You can have all the money in the world and still be poor. God wants to teach you how generous he is. That's why we are a brainwashing church. Bible says that we are to wash our minds with the word of God. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your. So when someone says, are you a brainwashing church? Absolutely. We want to wash our brain with the word of God, and it's time to get back to believing that God's kingdom is greater than the kingdom of this earth, that God's kingdom is higher, that God's kingdom is more real. You see, what you cannot see is more real than what you can see. There are angels filling this room. If you love the Lord, give God a shout. He says, my angels, they encircle those who love me. You see, there are more angels in this room than you can even count. But you see, because you can't see them, you put more faith in the chair that your hiney is sitting on. But God is saying that chair will be gone in 50 years. But my angels will not be gone. It's time to recognize that what you cannot see is more real than what you can see. And that God is a generous God. God is a powerful God. God is a forgiving God. God is a healing God. And it's time to get back to believing. Poverty has no place in my life. Can I at least hear an amen? Amen. God has not called you to scrape, scrimp, scavenge, and survive. He's called you to thrive. He's called you to thrive. I've started over three times, actually four. We started a church in Newfield. We were handed seven people. We built it. We built two buildings. We left there, went on the road as an evangelist, abandoned all of the money from the church. It takes 5 years to become a successful evangelist on the road. We were successful the moment we hit the road. August 1995, my daughter Corinne was 1 month old. We went on the road full time and all of our bills were paid. God blessed us for 3 years as we traveled. We left there and came here. Started the church with five people at the Holiday Inn in Horseheads. And now there are well over 1,000 people that call this place home. You see, God is able. You want to know why God is able? Because I believe there's nothing he cannot do. I believe that supernaturally he can add to this church tomorrow. That's why I'm telling you, don't get used to your seat. That's why we're changing up the service a little. I don't want you to get all comfortable now. It's time to recognize that there are people that are going to come through those doors. When you get here on a Sunday morning, your chair's gone. What do you mean they're sitting in my chair? Ain't your chair anyways. It's God's chair. It's time to get ready to build a new building. It's time to get ready to have change. But you cannot see change if your mindset is poverty. God wants to build you to understand him. Shall my God is generous. Shall my God is generous. This is the year of we are the generous church. Ooh. Now you see the problem with doing this out of order is I could preach for another hour. I'm all ready to preach next week's message. Next week's going to be gooder than this one. Yes, that's my word. I'm ready because I know this. Not everybody's going to want to get it. But those who do, shazam, their life is going to change. It's just like taking blinders off an eye. All of a sudden, you can see where you're going. I get in my truck. I think it was your car yesterday. We had the defrost on. We're going down through the road, and it didn't defrost enough. I was laying like this, driving down the road. But after a while, it all melted off, and I could sit back up, and I could see the road. God's going to reveal your poverty mentality so you can see the generosity of heaven, and your life will never be the same. Amen? I said amen. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to know that He is a generous God. He is a passionate God for your life. He wants to wash your sins away. You've never gone too far. You've never done too much. I want to remind you, there is no tags when we get to heaven. There is not Pentecostal. There's not Catholic. There's not Presbyterian. There's not Lutheranism. You can't be an Episcopal in heaven. There's only one way to go to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Heaven does not have membership. Heaven only has citizenship. Citizenship comes as your sins are washed away. You're then called a child of God himself. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I'm not saying you don't love God, I'm not saying you haven't even gone to church, but you've never given your life to him. You've never surrendered your life to him. Today is your day. Today is the acceptable day of the Lord. Today, if you're not right with God, if you're not sure you go to heaven when you take your last breath, and listen now, I know people that have come to this church 7-8 years and still have never confessed Christ. Today's your day. Today, if you need Jesus as your Savior, I want you to slide your hand up right now. I'm not going to wait long. Come on, get your hand up. 5. Come on, get your hand up. 4, 3, 2. Last call. 1. Let's all stand. This morning, I'm excited because we're getting ready to give.
Oh, he's trying to set us up.
Oh, yeah, I better believe it. Because if you can't give your money, you'll never give your life. Now, I'll say that one more time. If you don't have enough faith to believe God in your finances, you'll never believe God for your soul. For what is greater, souls or money? What's greater, souls or money? So if you can't believe God for money, how will you ever believe God for your soul? So today is your day. And I'm believing God that today some of you are going to step into generosity. Some of you have never tithed a day in your life. Today is your day of generosity. To give and then give. If you need a tithe envelope, the ushers are in the aisles right now. Raise your hands. Not going to wait long. If you're our guest this morning, what we do is we actually bring our tithes and offerings to the Lord. We're not shaking you down in your chair. At some point in time when we had about 2,000 more folks, we're going to have to pass the plates. But at this point, we don't have to. Isn't that great? So today, are you ready to give? I said, are you ready to give? Some of you need God to show up generously in your life. Be a generous giver. When you're in need, sow a seed. Everything you need is in the seed. Kingdom principle. Are you ready to shout it out loud? Deuteronomy chapter 28. Shout, I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. Storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. Then, generous God. Shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord with your tithe and your offering. If you're watching my live stream, this is your moment. Like I shared with you last week, the Holy Spirit showed me over a year ago that there's somebody watching by live stream or by hitting the TV that's going to give a $1 million check. And if that's you, God's already spoken to you. I'm not telling you, I'm not trying to manipulate you. He's already spoken it to you. It's time for you to write that check out. Get it to the house of God. We're going to pay this house off so we can build the next one to house more souls for Jesus. We love you. Serve God with all of your heart. Hallelujah!
All right, now, we're going to worship for the last part of this message. Everybody up front, we're going to worship together. Give extravagant, generous love to our God. Let's bless Him with all that's within us this morning. Don't give partway. Give all the way. Abandon yourself before the Lord in praise and worship. We love you.
We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast out every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease. For the devil is defeated. We are blessed. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease. For the devil is defeated. We are blessed. Come on, sing it out. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come, when we go. We cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease. For the devil is defeated. We are blessed. Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor. Come on, sing it with me. Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor. Come on, go ahead, declare it. Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor. One more time. Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease. For the devil is defeated. We are blessed. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease. For the devil is defeated. We are blessed. Come on, clap your hands like this. Oh, that sounds good. Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor. Come on, say it to somebody next to you. Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor. Go ahead, find one more person. Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor. One more time. Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around and around and around. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease. For the devil is defeated. We are blessed.
Hallelujah. Come on, keep shouting out the name of Jesus.
to you. Everything I give to you, withholding nothing, withholding nothing.
Go ahead, sing that out one more time. Sing aloud.
I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you, withholding nothing, withholding nothing, withholding. Withholding nothing.
I just want everybody to speak out loud right now one way you need God to move in your life this week. Go ahead and say it out loud, because when we tell God how we need Him, He shows up. We have to be specific in our prayer. So if you just want to just raise your hands and just say out loud, God, I need you in my health. God, I need you to show up in my health. Jesus, I need you to show up in my finances. God, I need you to show up in my family. God, I need you to show up in my ministry, in my workplace, God, among my friends, among my relationships. Go ahead and let God know the way that you need Him. That's what He wants to hear. He wants to know that He's the King in your life. He doesn't want to hear that you're the God of your own life. He wants to hear that He's the God of your life, that you need Him to solve your problems.
Lord, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Teach my soul to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you.
Whatever need that is, he's able and willing. Able and willing. Able and willing. I'm not sure if you got it yet. Able and willing. For he is a generous God and wants to bless his babies. Let me tell you something. God is just so awesome. And the people of this world need to see the awesomeness of our God. That means this week, we are his greatest representation. Amen. You see, when we get out there, the Bible says, as freely as you've received, freely give. When everything, all hell seems to be busting around you, you can have the generous God sleeping in your boat. You know you're getting across. He said you are. You can't fail. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Get your head up. Get your chin up. Get your smile on. Laugh in the face of the devil. Laugh right in his face. Let him know that I'm not defeated, but greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And no matter what miracle you need, God is able and willing. But what you and I have, we need to give. Amen? So this week, I challenge you to bring, to minister to somebody. Tell somebody about the love of God. Tell somebody about your extravagant, your generous God, how he's generously changed you. Listen, how many of you God's really changed your life? Come on, you were not a good person at all. I mean, you wouldn't even have liked yourself unless you were drunk. You wouldn't even have liked yourself unless you were drunk. Someone needs to hear about how generous God was in your life. So this week, be bold. Well, you know, I'm a pastor. I'm just reserved. No, you're not. The generous God will give you a boldness in your spirit. Whatever you have need of, your generous God will provide. And not a little bit. He'll mess you up. Nothing better than getting messed up by God. Amen? So our goal this year is to untwist you. Your mind's been twisted. All twisted up with how the world thinks. We're going to get you untwisted so you think like God thinks. Shout it out loud. We are the generous church. Turn to someone and say, you are. I'm prophesying. You are the generous church. Shout it out loud. And I thank God that you're my generous God.
What I need.
Hallelujah. I don't know, man. You should be charged up for the day, for the whole week on this one. I want to remind you about step one. That's Tuesday night, Rock Solid Faith, 7 p.m. Everybody in this room should be in Rock Solid Faith. We offer it Tuesday night at 7, child care provided. Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. if you work nights, child care provided. And Thursday night at 6 p.m., child care provided. Everybody who's not been in step one this week, you need to be extravagant and generous to your God with a little bit more time so you can grow up in Christ. Amen? If you've already graduated step one, which is Rock Solid Faith, you need to go to step two. And I believe, is this the week that they're starting the next class? Yes, they're starting the next class, which is the class on finances. How to be a good steward of God's finances and how to get out of debt. How many of you know that debt is destructive? Do you realize that poverty never came? I'm giving you a little bit of next week. Poverty never came until sin. Debt always declares poverty. It's never been God's will that you live in poverty. It's never God's will that you live in debt. This class will get you out of it. Amen? So that's step two, Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Listen now, if you have not yet accepted the Lord or you know you're not right with God, when the service is released, I'd like you to meet me right here. Listen, I just know there's unsaved people in this room. And before you leave, you need to get touched by the generous God's forgiveness. You need to step into the generosity of heaven's mercy. So if that's you, I want you to meet me right up front. If you're a guest this morning, we'd love to meet you personally. We have a guest reception right on the other side of this room. If you'll meet us there, moms and dads who have their kids, your kids are on that side of the room too. You'll go right out that door. I believe there are almost 30 kids right now, 7th to 9th graders, in that classroom already, week one. Week one. Isn't that exciting? Woohoo! Praise the Lord. Let's go on out praising, all right? Are you ready to go out praising? Have an awesome week. Serve Jesus with all of your heart. Step one. Step two.
We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold. Sickness and poverty must cease. For the devil is destroyed.